The very book that is the seedbed, the richest seedbed of instruction for the training of children, has a prominent doctrine that is not a very pleasant doctrine. But some of us, for many years in our lives, found it was the sheet anchor of our comfort. You know what that doctrine is? It's the doctrine of the foolish son. And if you start living in the book of Proverbs in order to be furnished with an ever-increasing awareness of the broad spectrum of concerns that ought to fill your vision in your commitment to train your children, you can't live in the book of Proverbs long without coming across the prominent doctrine of the foolish son. And who is the foolish son? Not the person who sees the inconsistencies and failures and limitations in his parents' parenting, but who, in spite of their godly efforts, albeit imperfect, chooses to damn himself by rejecting the instruction and the example and all the entreaties of his mother and his father. And God lays all the blame upon the foolish son, whom he will damn if he dies in his folly. And any view of parenting that leaves no room for that major block of exegetical materials out of Proverbs that constitute the doctrine of the foolish son is an unbiblical view of parenting. And then you will run afoul, if you're reading through your Bible regularly, you'll run afoul of accounts of godly parents who had children who became wicked and died in their wickedness, and there's not a smidgen of evidence that God lays the blame on the parents. Eli's sons, yes, God does lay blame upon Eli. I resent it when people read in that Samuel must have followed his example and that's why his sons became what they did. No. His sons revealed their true character after they came to a place of leadership and prominence. As a godly man, Samuel never would have encouraged them to take leadership in Israel if they had already had the marks of the wickedness that emerged after, as adult men, they had public trust and responsibility. And I've looked in vain for any indication where God lays any blame at the feet of Samuel. There are kings throughout the books of Kings and Chronicles and 1 and 2 Samuel who were godly men, concerning whom God has little to say in a negative way, and they had wicked sons. There are wicked kings out of whose loins God brought some of the most noble, godly kings in all of Israel. Now, if you've got a notion that somehow we'll cordon off God's absolute free sovereign rights because they're your kids, you're going to have big bad problems if you're reading consecutively through your Bible with a heart of one prepared to be taught and let your mind and your convictions go where the text of Scripture goes. And therefore, I submit to you that if you and I are to give ourselves, among our many other duties, for rearing kids God's way is not our only duty, and if we're to have any moral and physical and emotional and spiritual strength to carry out all of the other responsibilities given to us, and to do so with noble dignity, we must, by the grace of God, come to grips with this third foundation block of effective parenting, namely the recognition of and submission to the God of absolute sovereignty who determines the results of all of our efforts in the training of our children.